Welcome to Season 3 of the UK Virtual School Podcast with your host, Sid, educational disruptor and founder of the first online school that dares to be different. Our third season marks the end of the third academic year, where we interview parents, students and teachers who are part of the UK Virtual School family. If you are new to our podcast, please do check out the golden gems from seasons 1 and 2. Now, this podcast is for homeschoolers, home educators, world schoolers, and those parents seeking for an alternative that is effective, flexible, and high quality. If this sounds like you, why not join us in disrupting education as we know it and creating a legacy of learning that's full of passion and enthusiasm. Welcome to the UK Virtual School Podcast. Welcome to another podcast with UK Virtual School. This is your host, Sid, and I've got the amazing Samira Ali with us today. She is a parent that has come back to UK Virtual School after a few years of a gap, and we're going to be talking all things home education today. So welcome, Samira. How are you doing?
Good. Excited to be here to carry on discussing homeschooling.
Brilliant. So do you want to give us a little bit of a background on what made you kind of go into the home education route in the first place and how long you've been doing it? And then maybe why you chose UK Virtual School when you did 3 years ago. I think that would be a great start.
I am sort of in law by profession, had never wanted to teach, had absolutely no interest. I had one daughter, she was at school and she just wanted to do more. You know, she was ready to progress with her reading, writing, etc. And her teachers kept telling me that, you know, she's at the top of everything, but we can't really give her much more because obviously they're teaching like 30 kids in total. So she was quite happy there. And then when I think it was the RSE curriculum or something kicked in, she came home and she seemed shocked and she kind of raised some questions with me about, you know, sort of how does this happen or that happen? And it was, you know, totally not age appropriate. She was in year one at the time at primary school. So then I spoke to her teachers and I was like, look, she's come home saying this. You're not even meant to cover this to like secondary school. And the teacher was like, she's lovely. And she said, look, we follow a really strict script. But I, you know, a lot of the kids have elder siblings. And so a lot of stuff comes into the playground and general chit chat. And we can't control that, which is, you know, understandable. But I just felt like she's just so innocent. And all she wanted to do at the time was play with dolls. And I just felt like she seemed really disturbed by what she'd kind of heard, but didn't really understand. So then my husband said to me, look, would you consider homeschooling? And I just said, well, no, she loves school. I love school. Like, I love my job. I'm not going to do this. But the seed had kind of been planted. And so then I just researched and researched. And I think I spent about, you know, months researching. And then it just felt right. So I'd been talking to my husband about this at night. And one day Isba said to me, my daughter, Mom, I've been hearing you talking to Baba about homeschooling and I want you to homeschool me. And I was just like, oh, okay. And I said, are you sure though? I was like, you've got lots of friends, you know, you're going to miss your friends. And she was like, no. She was really sure of herself and she decided. And actually we have a really busy social life outside of school anyway. So I wasn't worried about her social aspect as such. But yeah, and then that was it. And so we decided to take her out and homeschool her. So we were going to homeschool her from year two onwards. And that's when lockdown happened. So everyone ended up homeschooling. Yeah, it was that long ago. So just before lockdown even happened, before COVID was a thing, that's when I took her out in September. And then I think December or November is when COVID became a thing. And then suddenly all the school parents were calling me and saying, what do we do? We don't know how to homeschool. Because obviously they'd been thrown into it. I'd spent months researching and kind of getting prepared and knowing what to do. So yeah, I felt sorry for everyone else who's kind of thrown into it, but we were kind of ready. Yeah.
In terms of your work, because you said that you still wanted to work in the law profession, how did you balance that out?
So I just didn't. I'm really committed to motherhood per se. And she was my first child. So she was going to get, you know, all of me. And I was like, fine, I can delay it. I'll go back. But her having like a really stable foundation and being able to push herself and like her own interests, because I knew she felt a bit stifled at school in a way. Like she loved the, you know, the social side of it, but she wasn't progressing how she wanted to progress. So I just thought, let's just see how it goes. And obviously she can always go back to school if she wants to, She knew that was always open to her. But yeah, we didn't really look back. So
brilliant. So how was that first year during COVID for you?
So Sid, I don't know when you started doing. Oh, so I was aware of you, Sid, through Femtinos. So I never joined Femtinos. My kids never got to go because I think the courses were always somewhere else we couldn't get to, or on a day when we couldn't do it. But I was like in love with the concept. So I'm all about hands-on learning, making abstract ideas concrete, you know, letting them experience things to cement their learning. And I felt like you were really on the ball with science and making science fun. And I think that's what a lot of teachers, either they don't have the opportunity to do this or they're just not able to. Like, science was not fun at school. I remember like just not finding it fun. Whereas I know it can be fun because the way my brother would teach me at home was fun. The way you would speak about it with passion was, you know, was exciting. So then I think we ended up over the summer or something, we did some art classes with you, Sid. Ispa did some art classes with you and she loved it. And she was so happy. And I couldn't believe like her talent, like someone who actually understands teaching, but the flaws of school and the education system, which hasn't changed, and how to just make it more applicable, more relevant, and just more user-friendly for with the children at the center of it. So I was on board from the beginning. So I was like, yes, like math is not my strong point. Let me be a part of something where I know they've got specialists who can actually give that to her. So it was less daunting a task, as it were.
I'm trying to think whether the art classes were happening when the first lockdown happened back in April. And I don't remember now. It feels like such an eternity ago.
I remember the weather was good. That's all I remember. Because she was painting and like the sunlight was streaming in and like, but I don't remember. I kind of remember we had done that with you. And so I just always knew that I kind of trusted you and whatever you were going to create, we were on board.
I think it's so nice when we've got families that will just follow whatever's released. They're like, oh, we're doing some of that. We're going to do some of that.
But do you know what it is, Sid? It's because I feel like you share on Facebook, at least, a lot of your thought processes and your general musings on, like, you know, the education system, what's happening in the world, et cetera, et cetera. And what you have found teaching, because you've been teaching for like such a long time. And it echoed with how we feel about the education system. Like schools have just not caught up with what you have been able to do individually. So that's why in homeschooling, I found this, that I can source the best tutors for her who align with her way of learning. But schools obviously can't cater in that way. They've got 30 kids. The work needs to get out there. Some will make it, some won't. Can they focus on that one person who's not doing it? No, not really. And so kids slip through. And, you know, what I found when I was at school was if I was good at something, my teacher pushed me even more in a good way. And I, you know, achieved the best that I could. What I lacked in, there was no help. It was just, oh, you know, you either got the help at home, and if you didn't have access to that, then you just didn't. And that was it. And I don't think there's been any change.
No, I think there's been more pressure being placed on the kids these days. Like they're expected to sit more tests that they're doing and assessments, and there's a lot more pressure on them now than it was when we were kids, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like SATs and this and that. I mean, really, when are kids going to be kids? You know, they need to play. They need to, I'm all about following the interest of the child. So if she's interested in that, we'll give her opportunities and she can see, is this something I'm interested in? Not like for kids to now be choosing GCSEs in like year nine, or, you know, I think they start choosing in year nine. It's like, well, what have they like been exposed to? How will they know what they want to study, what their actual interests are? Because when have they been exposed to it?
Yeah, it's a shame how the education system hasn't evolved. And I think COVID was a big kind of eye-opener for a lot of families because it showed them how teachers were teaching. Because they started to do it online, and then many schools didn't do it online because they didn't want to showcase how their teachers were teaching. And so they were just sending out worksheets.
But even that expectation of kids to sit online for a prolonged period of time at that age was just crazy. Like, which child needs to be sitting just so they could prove that actually we've done, like, that was not conducive, in my opinion, at all. So what in homeschooling, obviously, we could choose. We actually enjoyed the first lockdown because we had a garden. We did some classes with you as and when, but obviously it's not like a laborious process. And then they could just go back to being kids and like just living life, like just sitting in front of a screen for hours on end to just do classes.
We're also matching kids to ability groups. So if a kid is able to skip ahead for a few years in primary, we do that. So they're not having to go through that repetitive process. But I think a lot of kids do need that repetition just to embed the basic foundations. But I don't think they need that at secondary level. Like if they've got a really good primary foundation, then the year seven, I think, is needed to see the difference between the workload. And then after that, they can start their GCSEs. But during COVID, you guys didn't do any of the live classes. You did the one way?
No, so we chose to do one way. So we did one way maths, one way English. Yeah, so that's what we did. A lot of that is because I've obviously learned how Isper studies, and she likes to pause, make notes, and like she's really into the pretty notes. You know, we have a set of pens, but they're called SID pens, because when you used to teach, you used to have like these colorful pens to make your notes, and we were just like, she loved that. And so she's, even now this year, she's gone and on the shopping list, it was called SID pens. And like, so she will get those and she will make the notes, and she's really quiet. She likes her notes to be really tidy and stuff. So I wanted her to be able to take it at her own pace. So this year we've chosen to do some live lessons, and she's loving those. But I think that year, because it was her first year, I wanted her to be able to take it as slowly as she wanted. I didn't also know how live lessons would be. Would she be put on the spot? You know, I think she was a bit nervous about that.
And you had so many teachers that first year. I think we had so many different teachers during... Was it so many different teachers? Oh, but you had different teachers across the different subjects, at least. How did you find the teachers that we had at UK Virtual School?
So I think, and I have recommended UKVS now to so many people, as you know. And I think the thing that stands out for me is knowing you sort of as a person, Sid, in that your sort of history, where you come from, that you studied the sciences, you did this, that, you experienced. So I kind of trust what your background is. But also, the thing that stands out to me is how you select teachers. Because when ISPO was studying, some teachers were fantastic. They engaged with the kids. They were, you know, supportive, encouraging. The work was paced so well. Love the fact that they would go over the homework, but not drag it out either. And they, like for math, for example, which was not my daughter's strong point, like I feel like that gave her the best foundation. The teacher you had at the time was absolutely fantastic, taught the best tips and tricks, you know, that made a huge difference. Her confidence went sky high with maths after that.
That's brilliant to hear. We do have I think at the time the kids weren't involved in recruitment. Now they are. So I even put my trust in the kids now, because I know I can still make mistakes and become a little biased in who I want to hire. And then what I do is I pass on the good candidates to the kids, and they make the final decision now. And they make amazing.
I mean, when you think about that, that's so crazy, but so much power to the kids, and ultimately they are the ones learning. So
exactly. And the great thing is that they're able to see it from different perspectives. So I will ask them the question, you like this particular teacher, but do you think everyone else in the school will? And they're able to like look at it from a different perspective and go, well, yeah, I do think this, or I don't think this, and they give me a reason why. And that ability to reason and have that conversation, I think, is so important for the kids to be able to kind of share their opinions.
And for them to feel so involved and like their opinion is trusted, whereas kids are always, you know, historically talked down to, not always regarded, you know, not always taken into consideration. So, you know, to be able to be a part of selecting the teachers, I think that's great.
And they make some awesome choices. I think I keep sharing the fact that when we hired Andrea Mackey, and she knows this, she won't mind me telling the story, but when we hired Andrea Mackey, there were two candidates for the primary maths position. And I was leaning towards not Andrea Mackey. Right? They were both brilliant, but I was slightly leaning towards the other one. And the kids were like, nope, we're hiring Andrea Mackey. And I was like, are you sure? And they were like, yep, she's fantastic. And they made such a good decision, because she's now head of primary and she does a fantastic job. And so they're really good at being able to select. And I do think they have this innate power to be able to make good intuitive decisions, which we lose as an adult, I think.
So I feel like you have things at UKVS that actually set you apart. And actually, there's more of a school feel to it than you would think, considering it's an online-based program. There is definitely a school vibe, you know, like with the, and the parents, I feel like we're quite involved. You know, we can have the meetings with you. Everything seems to get resolved really quickly. Alhamdulillah. Like, I love that about UKVS, like any concerns or technical issues all quite quickly resolved. So I think having that is such a comfort, because then you don't feel like you're on your own doing it all on your own. And now, you know, your child's education is all on you. You kind of feel like I've got some experts here helping.
That's good. That's good. That's why we've kind of created a community feel, because I think it's really important. So you took a 2-year gap. So tell us what you were doing during that time. How was your home education journey during that period?
So obviously it was quite a hard decision. I am more of a linguist. So like English is what I excelled at school, and sort of that's what comes easy to me. Maths, not so much. So I always thought I needed someone for maths. But then when my daughter wanted to go down the 11 plus route and we thought we'd go down the 11 plus route, for her to eventually go back to school and for me to eventually go back to work, we had a tutor. And because that was quite a lot of work and it covered maths and English, I just felt like I didn't want to double up on it all the time. And at the time, there wasn't the option of doing like maths separately and English separately. I don't know if you can do that now, can't you? Yeah, so at the time, that wasn't an option. So I just thought, you know, I'd rather just deal with one tutor than have like a bit here and a bit there, because that would just get really messy for us to take on. So yeah, so we were focusing on sort of the 11 plus side, and that covers the English and the math. So we were doing that. But then outside of that, we would do like nature journaling, you know, nature anatomy, follow other things. Science would be sort of whatever's going on. If they took an interest in something, you know, we'd follow that. And, you know, I managed to do that with both of the kids. So that was more what we were doing over the 2 years.
Yeah. That's brilliant. And what kind of brought you back to UKVS then?
Oh, we always knew we'd come back, which is why in the interim, whenever anyone was like, well, I'm thinking of homeschooling, what would you do? I was like, well, you just need to sign up to UKVS. And then like, there's no headache. And I think a lot of families did join up, but so we always knew we would come back. I just wanted to not overload my daughter. So I knew she'd sit the exam in September this year. And so then we could just get back. And so we signed up with you. We discussed everything. And I love that even though she's like in year six, you knew that because she's done all this work, she didn't need year six maths. She can just start year seven maths. So I love that you've got that knowledge to actually really help us make the right choices.
So how's she finding it right now?
Oh, she's so happy. She's loving it. She's really enjoying the science class. Obviously, she's happy that the 11 plus is over, because I think in the middle of it, that, you know, it's such a marathon that you will get 11 plus fatigue, which is just the same thing over and over. Like, how many times can you look at NVR and VR and all of that? So, you know, we've done that and she's so excited. So she's doing art, and it's something she's never done, which is sculptures. She's loving that. She's got really fun classes with William in science. So she's been really enjoying that. And we haven't started the maths yet, so we'll do that. But we bought that as a, you know, the video bundle, so hopefully.
Brilliant. What is she working on for art? Because I know they're doing sculpture work and the brief was to actually design a sculpture. Have they been introduced to the brief yet?
We were sort of told that, so they're working on sculptures. And the most amazing thing was, Isper's like, she just wants more and more soap, because they started working with soap and sculpting soap. And it was amazing to see what they can do with soap. So my son's doing it now as well. He's got a bar of soap. She's teaching him. They're working on like various things together. But so it's a sculpture that, so two sculptures, and they're looking at two particular artists. I won't remember the name, but she remembers the name. She's telling everyone about it. The two pieces have to kind of work together in the style of this artist. And it's, you need to think about where you would want to publicly display this. And then sort of digitally, you're going to, you know, put it together. And so, yeah, it's really exciting. So she just submitted one piece today with her two pieces that she sculpted. And yeah, looking forward to her next lesson.
This is quite exciting. And I love how Lucy kind of gets them to really work on their art. Because at primary level, they wouldn't do this kind of project work. It would just be like, let's shade an apple. They even do that in year seven.
Wait, this is it. It was so different, so creative. And what was really interesting, because I sat in on the first class with her, there was you know, someone from Japan, someone from another country, and they were all working and creating such amazing masterpieces. And I was like, I can't believe kids are doing this. Yeah, it was just what they're capable of, what they can achieve with correct direction is just amazing.
Yeah, Lucy's very good. She's very talented. And I think there's been a lot of kids that have started with us that have had a traumatic experience with art in a physical traditional school, where they've been told they can't draw, they can't paint, and they come in heartbroken. And then like, she has to work with them to build up the confidence. But the work that they produce is amazing in the end.
Amazing. But Sid, is that what you have found, that most of the people that come into UKVS, have they been burnt by the system?
Yeah, in some way, shape or form. It's not always, but I think we have families from different areas. So there are a lot of families that have had issues with school systems. So either they haven't had the level of support that they need from special educational needs for their kids, or the kids have suffered from bullying or anxiety or mental health issues and have not been supported properly. Or there's been issues with a certain subject and the kids just completely lost their confidence. And then on the other hand, we've got kids that have got talents, so they need something that can work around their talents, and they want something a bit more flexible, or they want to travel the world and have something that is continuous that they can take away with them.
I mean, I think that is fantastic. I have now friends, obviously, who are like in different parts of the world who I've recommended to. And now I know they're doing it from all these different countries. And I think that's so amazing that it's accessible and they're getting access to like British education, which is what they wanted, but from wherever they are. So,
and a fraction of the cost of what it would be if they were doing a British international school in their countries as well,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely,
and yet the approach that we use is so much more interesting than I think in a class of 30 kids.
Yeah, yeah. It's like even the fact that they have a common room, as it were, to hang out, you know, and the way it's been designed, it looks so cool. So we haven't used it yet, but I know it's something that Ispa's so keen to get into. She's like, oh, I want to meet my friends.
Yeah, so for those people that are listening that don't know what that is, so we've introduced a common room at lunchtime. We called it the social playroom. So we've got a separate one for primary and one for secondary. And I've been in a few times. We trialled it out at the end point of last year. And we had kids playing hide and seek in there. It was so cute and adorable. They were just hiding in different rooms and they were going and finding each other. But you can play like chess in there and Tetris and just have a chat, and everything's interactive. So they can click on items and eat the food and things like that. So it's really good.
That is so cool.
Yeah, she needs to have a go.
And such a great way for them to feel like they're still getting the sort of school experience, but, you know, with more fun, more games, really.
Yeah. And I remember when you first joined us, that one of the first parent meetings that we did, we took a clip from what you'd said at the time. It's currently on our YouTube page. And then 3 years later, we've got you back again, but this time doing a podcast.
It's crazy, but I believe in this. Like, I believe homeschooling can be so great. Like, I have enjoyed homeschooling as before the years that I have. I feel like it's such a bonus time that I've had with her. I've learned so much with her because I've been doing these classes and stuff. And, you know, to know that I'm not alone in this and that there are other parents, and there is a specialist help where teachers are chosen and selected, you know, with such care, and the material is put together and it's so easy to navigate the system. I think it's life changing, really. And I think it's worked so well for us to be able to access like the course that we want to. You do coding, art, you know, there's so much thing. And now with these residential trips, you know, it's really, no one feels left out just because they're being homeschooled.
What's been the biggest change over the last 3 years for us? Because when we first started, we didn't have it, like most of these things, right?
But it was still good even then, Sid, because to have nothing, because otherwise there's nothing of this type, is there? You can book individual tutors or whatever. And that's, again, you go in, you sit in the class, or they'll do it online. It's very dry. They teach you, they send you some work, you do it, and, you know, on repeat. Even then, it was a lot better and a lot easier to use, I feel. Having one place where you can get all your subjects, but that it's taught in a fun way, and where the children feel valued from the beginning. So I think even then, without all the whistles and, you know, bells, it was still very good, yeah.
That's good. That's good to hear. What do you think we're still missing? Is there anything else you would think like, oh, if we had this, then it would be like the cherry on the top?
No, I feel the cherry on the top is the residentials, because that's something you would never think that a digital platform would be able to achieve. You know, like, I'm learning online. How is that going to translate into being able to do away trips? So I think that's amazing. And the itinerary that you've created for Morocco, it's just such unique experiences. And, you know, the children will definitely learn from it and grow with it. And the fact that the parents can come as well, I think it's fantastic.
Looking forward to that. We're hoping to do different countries over the course of the next couple of years. I think Greece is the next one on our to-do list. But we're hoping to also have an end-of-year party where we can all get together.
Oh, yeah, I heard you mention this. Yeah, this sounds fun. Yeah.
I think that will be really good. And for those families that are further afield, we're going to hopefully have a location where they can stay over and have a place that they can stay and stay for a week if they need to. But I'm really looking forward to meeting everyone. I think it'll be great because we haven't met yet, even though we're in the same city.
Yeah. Yeah. So we need to do that. And then hopefully the kids can get. So you want the kids involved in organizing this party, don't you?
Yeah. Eloise is going to be reaching out. So she's going to reach out to the parents, and then she's going to reach out to the kids. And then we're going to collectively figure out what happens with this party.
How great.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Party, exactly. I think the kids are really lucky, and I think they get excited with all these new things that you're always thinking of and adding into the mix. So I think they're really lucky.
I think you're such a great ambassador for us, Samira. Like, you're always, like, whenever I see you, you're like, oh, this is so amazing, Sid. Like, this is amazing. You're great.
You know what? I feel like this is what's been missing. Like, on a different scale, like me and my daughter, she's, you know, obviously learning about her religion, growing up, et cetera, et cetera. And she'll say to me, you know what, Mum, this is what's missing. And like, we have these discussions, kind of like, this is what's missing. And when someone plugs that hole, it is amazing. I feel like we need to celebrate. It's like, you know what? Someone is thinking about how to make things better instead of just, you know, the conformity, just doing what's set already. And it just goes on and on. Like, no, we need people to break the mold and to think ahead. Like, the education sector is not something obviously I was familiar with, but knowing how much experience you have in it, you are thinking of how to fix a model. And I think that's fantastic.
How does the 3-week structure work for you?
Oh, I love it. And obviously, because we had the 11 plus, so it took up a bit of September, I've already planned how we're going to catch up. We've caught up some of it anyway, but like, how we're going to use that 1 week. So I was telling my husband about this, and I was saying to him, oh, you know, next week there are no classes because it's a 3-week structure. So it gives us time to catch up. And he's like, you just cried for him. He said, that's amazing. He said, that's genius, because you can never catch up at school. If you've lost, you've lost. Yeah. So there's no sort of leeway for illnesses or, you know, anything that goes on in your family or anything like that. You don't get that catch up breather. So like, for me and Esper, we've already planned, like, this is how we're going to do this. She's out there creating her timetable today. And, you know, it is great that we know every month we've got that time to take stock and, you know, organize and be prepared for the next month.
Well, next month is 2 weeks, so you can go on holiday as
Is it? Oh yeah, that's exciting.
And then for winter, it's a 5-week break, right? So you've got lots of things to do. And I think we didn't have that break in the first year that you were there. We worked through December, and what we realized, because you weren't doing the live classes, you wouldn't have noticed, but half the kids weren't showing up. They were turning up half an hour late. They all wanted to just hibernate. So we thought, let's just listen to their bodies.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never want to leave the house in winter.
Like, no, exactly. Yeah. But isn't that the great thing about it? That you've got your eye on the ball, you're watching what's happening and then thinking, okay, yeah, you have to adapt. Exactly. And most of these institutions aren't fluid in that way. They don't have that, you know, ability to adapt.
Because I think the difference is that they have their system and they're trying to get the kids to fit into it. We have the kids and we're trying to create a system that fits around them, right? And I think that's where the difference is. Like, we've taken, because I've worked with home eders for such a long time, I've taken the great bits of home education. They want flexibility. They want to be able to pick and choose what they want. They want to be able to work on things at their own pace. So they want like videos, so all of these kind of things that they want, we've taken that and we've kind of created a system that works for those people. And I think that's what's great. And I think a lot of other places just take the traditional schooling system and they plunk it online. And you don't always want that. Like, some people do, but I don't think everyone wants that.
I mean, because I think, you know, there's a reason why we stepped away from school. It could be, you know, a whole range of reasons, but ultimately when you're schooling from home, you need that flexibility. You know, your child will benefit from having, you know, a less rigid approach, I think, in how they learn. So, you know, the fact that you have AM sessions, PM sessions, obviously that caters for your students who are across the world, but it also works even for us. Like, if we're doing extracurriculars, she's learning tennis in the morning, then we can choose to do our class in the, you know, PM. So that really helps. Like, we can still have the richness of, you know, extracurriculars and all of that and not be tied down to, oh, well, this class only runs in the morning, so we have to do this, etc.
Yeah, it's the flexibility, I think, that a lot of home eders crave. So hopefully we're solving that. And keep the feedback coming in. Keep being a great ambassador for us, because I always love how they always mention your name. I'm like, oh yeah, I know who Samira is.
Because, you know what, I feel like a lot of people on the outside view homeschoolers as being quite closed off, you know, like it's some scary world where we just sit for hours on end in some darkened room, you know, just studying. And it's nothing like that. And so I want them to know, you know, there is so much help out there, and that, you know, someone to hold your hand, as it were. You know, UKVS is basically holding your hand. So
yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much for taking the time. I've really enjoyed it. I think this is the longest we've talked, and it's been such an enjoyable chat. So thank you so much for taking part and sharing your journey with us, and letting all the other parents know what you think. So thank you. Thank you so much for tuning into the UK Virtual School podcast with your host, Sid. I look forward to having you join me again soon. In the meantime, if you're considering online schooling to take away the stress of having to plan and structure everything yourself, why not head over to our website, www.ukvirtualschool.com. You can join in our next online open day or book in a Zoom meeting with me to discuss options. I look forward to seeing you soon. Bye.